This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Jeff Horwich. Well, happy almost anniversary, everybody. 2 years ago this Saturday, President Obama signed the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Law. Dodd-Frank followed the hurried bailout of American financial firms. Many say the bailout pulled the economy back from the brink, but the ad hoc nature of the bailout made clear we needed better ways of responding to, and ideally preventing, financial crises. Sheila Bair was chair of the FDIC during the bailout and the crafting of Dodd-Frank. She later founded the Systemic Risk Council to pressure the government and the financial industry to live up to the goals of financial reform. As the anniversary approaches, we invited her to Marketplace for a check-in, and welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
As I recall, you were quite adamant while Dodd-Frank was being crafted that it should pave the way for essentially a bailout-free future. Do you think we got there?
Well, I think we're getting there. You know, we don't really end too big to fail until we convince the market that people who invest in these large banks and buy their debt, if they're convinced they're going to take losses if these big banks get into trouble. And there has been some progress on that score. The rating agencies have started downgrading the banks based on the reduced likelihood that they will be bailed out in the future. And their cost of funding have gone up a bit as a result of that. So I think there's more work to be done. But yes, we are making progress.
As you continue to work and advocate to weed out various problems in the system, do you think we are stuck with anything truly problematic either in the law itself or that has come about during the implementation of Dodd-Frank?
Well, yes. I mean, I think complexity is a big issue for me. You know, Dodd-Frank is something I support. I think we're better having it than not having it. But it is a very long, complex law. And unfortunately, the regulations we're getting now are also quite lengthy and complex. The CFTC moved forward last week with its definition of swaps, which I'm glad they're moving forward. But the definition was 600 pages long, and it's basically because they have all these things in there for lobbyists saying who is not subject to these new rules. The consumer agency had a much improved mortgage disclosure form, but then it was accompanied by 1,100 pages of rules explaining how mortgages should be disclosed. So, I think complexity is a real problem. It makes it difficult for public advocates, for the media, for academics to analyze the rules and understand and evaluate how effective they're going to be. It can serve as a barrier, frankly, to smaller institutions, a competitive barrier, because they just simply don't have the resources to hire the pricey lawyers that are needed to decipher these rules. Mm-hmm. So I do think complexity is a real problem, and I hope regulators going forward are more mindful with simple rules, and they just really do not need to accommodate all these lobbyist requests for special exceptions or clarifications. They just need to write the rule and tell them they can't do these things anymore.
So since the last time we talked to you on Marketplace, J.P. Morgan lost what looks like $4.5 billion of their own money, and then they had quite a profitable quarter, thank you very much. But Congress gets involved. The media reacts almost as if a law was broken or at least some kind of public trust was broken. So my question for you is, why shouldn't banks be allowed to screw up like this, just like any other business?
Well, they should be allowed to screw up. But I think a couple of things that the J.P. Morgan Chase losses tell us. One is the serious challenges of managing banks that are this large and this complex, even for very good management. And I think Chase overall is a well-managed institution. Second of all is the propriety of using insured deposits. And these were speculative positions being taken with the deposit base at the J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. You know, they were investing in what's called tranche credit default swap indices. These things are so volatile and complex, the clearinghouses won't even take them. And why in the world is government-backed money being used to do that? If Chase wants to take positions in those big, highly volatile, highly risky indices, they should not be using government-supported funds for that. That should be required to be in a walled-off affiliate where they have to go to the private markets and convince them to give them money to make those types of high-risk trading activities. So I do think that is a problem and one that needs to be correct.
And what's embedded in that is the very hazy notion still post-bailout of what is government money and what is sort of the bank's own business.
Own
it's
money.
Still, it's
exactly.
Still really hard. It's really hard to tell now, isn't it?
Right. Well, it's, you know, the shareholders are right. J.P. Morgan Chase remained profitable. This loss was they had more of a completely adequate capital base to absorb this loss. But notwithstanding, the problem with using government-backed money to support this type of activity is there's really no market discipline with insured deposits. I mean, it's important to have a deposit insurance system for Main Street depositors. They need safety and peace of mind that their money is protected. But it's easy to get insured deposits. There's not a lot of market discipline. There's a lot more market discipline if they have to go to the bond markets and convince, you know, private institutional investors to support them taking ganders on CDS, tranche CDS indices. If they want to do that, they should have to convince the market that that's an activity worthwhile supporting and not use insured deposits where there's no market discipline.
So systemic risk, this term that you're so closely attached to, if I might paraphrase, is a risk to a financial institution that could have major spillover effects beyond that institution.
It's a risk to the public at large, yes.
Sure.
So a practice or an institution that if it gets into trouble, if things go wrong, can hurt innocent bystanders. That's really what I view of as systemic risk.
So going after systemic risk, it suggests safety, it suggests caution. Then we have this other important aspect of our economy where we say financial institutions are supposed to be taking risks on deserving people and businesses. We want them to lead the recovery. We want them to be more bold with what they're doing with their money in some ways. How do you reconcile what seems like a real contradiction there?
Well, I think we do want banks to take risks. We want them to lend to the real economy. We want them to take prudent risks, but we want them to take risk on economic activities that have some real economic benefit. I mean, trading tranche CDS indices with a bunch of hedge funds, I don't know what kind of positive economic benefit we get from that. Mm-hmm. Rigging interest rates, I think that's a pretty harmful practice to the real economy. So it's the kind of risk you take and whether you're taking well-measured, well-understood, well-evaluated risk. That's really the question.
There are many people out there who would have liked to have seen and might still like to see banks fail, especially big banks fail that they think have been misbehaving. What do you say to them?
Well, I say we should have let a couple of fail, and it makes me angry that we didn't. And I think there were tools there that could have been used that were not. You know, there were outliers in the 2008 crisis. It wasn't everybody. There were a couple of institutions that were clear outliers in terms of their mismanagement, the risks that they took, and they should have been put into a bankruptcy-like process, and they weren't. And I think if we had done that, that would have been more powerful than all the rules we're writing now to try to correct these misbehaviors. And I think that is an unfortunate legacy. Look, we did what we had to do. We had imperfect information and imperfect tools. I think a lot of the bailouts were more generous than they needed to be. And as I say, I think we could have been more muscular in requiring some of these banks to restructure the ones that were failing. But, you know, be that as it may, it's a legacy of the bailouts, and it's something we have to deal with now. But, yes, allowing a couple of them to fail would have had a much more disciplining effect on market behavior than all the rules we're writing now.
Sheila Baer is the former chair of the FDIC and current chair of the Systemic Risk Council. Thanks very much.
You are welcome. Thank you.